speaking of Aaron Rodgers, he had some interesting comments after the game last night. Obviously, he didn't really offer much about his career. He said he's going to give it time, which I totally respect. But he was asked about Mike Tomlin. Mm. And it led to this kind of diatribe speech from Aaron Rodgers on not only the state of our country, but the state of the way we treat head coaches. Take a listen.
I mean, this league has changed a lot in my 21 years. You know, when you hear a conversation about the Mike Tomlins of the world, Matt LaFleurs of the world, those are just two that kind of I've played for. And when I first got in the league, there wouldn't be conversation about whether those guys were on the hot seat. You know, but the way that the league is covered now and the way that there's snap decisions and the validity given to the, you know, the Twitter experts and all the, you know, experts on TV now who make it seem like they know what the hell they're talking about. To me, that's an absolute joke. And for either of those two guys to be on the hot seat is really apropos of where we're at as a society and a league.
So, you agree with that? Basically, our society is leading us to put guys on the hot seat who don't deserve it?
If he's going to take a shot at people who sit at desk and talk about football, he should take a shot at people who are uninformed and talk about Mike Tomlin. I've never said Mike Tomlin was on the hot seat, and we talk about him frequently. I think Mike Tomlin is going to walk away from the game and go sit on a beach for a year. This came up when everybody started pining for Mike Tomlin for the New York Giants. I'm talking like months ago.
Yeah.
And
years ago, too. It's been going on for a while.
Right. And so I think Mike Tomlin is not on a hot seat. He will leave Pittsburgh when he wants to leave Pittsburgh. I don't think Pittsburgh would ever fire him. And if they did, it would be a mutually agreed separation. So he's right, but he's wrong pertaining to Mike Tomlin. Because anybody who knows the Steelers and the Rooney organization, they know that that's not going to happen.
He may not have been on the hot seat with ownership because we've never been given an indication that ownership would move on him, as you said.
So if you don't know that the owner is saying this is a, like, what's her name in Indy, Sean, the new owner?
Carly Ursay.
She basically put that entire staff, Ballard, the general manager, and
Shane Steichen,
on the hot seat right after the season.
Yeah.
The last game. There better be an urgency next year to win. And so that group is on the hot seat. The Steelers will never, ever do that. Of course the fans will.
Well, that's where he's been on the hot seat. He's been on the hot seat with fans.
But Aaron wasn't talking about the fans. He was talking about people who talk about the Steelers. And I don't think most Steeler pundits are saying, Mike Tomlin was on the hot seat. And if you are, you're uninformed.
Well, was LaFleur on the hot seat?
Mike LaFleur?
Matt LaFleur? He brought him up, too. He brought up LaFleur as well, which I thought was very interesting. Clearly has a respect for LaFleur. He said, if you think he should be on the hot seat, you're crazy, too. He brought him up as well.
But who's saying that Matt LaFleur is on the hot seat?
Well, you know what this gets down to?
Because I don't think anybody said that.
What's the definition of being on the hot seat? Like, if an owner has to publicly say it, or it needs to be reported by NFL insiders? What's the hot seat?
The latter.
Okay.
When an NFL insider says, Mike Tomlin's on the hot seat, maybe I'll believe it. But I don't think that that's the case. You'll never hear that from Pittsburgh. I don't think we heard that from Green Bay.
Yeah, I think what's going on in society, to comment to Aaron Rodgers, is we all have more information, we all have more access, we all have more ways of offering our opinions. You would never have heard a Fire Tomlin chant in any sports stadium 60 years ago.
Right.
Maybe 30 years ago,
right.
Yes. We act differently. And
true.
Where I'm mixed about this is Mike Tomlin is a great head coach. I would give up a finger for him to be the head coach of the New York Jets. Same thing with LaFleur. They're both wonderful head coaches. But I also understand that when you're in that slog, where yes, your culture's good, yes, you win a lot, but you can't break through, I understand that, hey, maybe it's self-evaluation time. It doesn't mean Mike Tomlin and LaFleur are idiots. It just means, I get it. I think the best example is Yankee fans with Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same. They've had success. You can't argue it. They were in the World Series a year and a half ago.
Right.
But there's that, hey, they haven't broken through. Anyhow, what do you want, Sean?
Will Salmon from The Athletic.
We have a baseball update?
Yeah, it's now not breaking the glass because it's not a signing, but he's done some fishing around, and he is saying that the Kyle Tucker to the Met news is legitimate. Multiple meetings have took place, and there is a proposed contract on the table, 3 years between 120, 140 mil over those 3 years.
So that's about 47 a year, kind of in that range?
That's a big AAV. I mean, but that feels Median.
Yeah, oh, very Median, because it's
short deal, big AAV.
Keep this in mind about David Stearns and Steve Cohen, both of them. They have not given out a lot of long-term contracts.
I think one, right?
In David Stearns' case, one, and that is Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
He tried Yoshiyama Yamamoto,
right.
But everyone else was three-year deals, two-year deals, opt-out deals. Steve Cohen, before David got here, in trying to bridge the gap with his pitching, gave out monstrous AAV short-term deals to Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander.
Right.
So based on that, based on David Stearns not wanting to go long-term and Steve Cohen's willingness to go high AAV short-term, it makes sense that this is what the Mets are trying to do with Kyle Tucker. It would be awesome if they pulled it off. I remain very skeptical that the Dodgers aren't going to offer something better.
Mm-hmm.
And I also remain skeptical that Kyle Tucker wouldn't just prefer the longer-term deal that the Toronto Blue Jays are likely offering.
Well, there we go.
Well, you got to turn the mic on, Sean.
This sucks. We have baseball breaking news.
Is it involving Kyle Tucker?
No. Jeff Passan. Nolan Arenado has finally been traded.
Oh, okay. Oh,
not to the Yankees.
Not to the Yankees.
The Diamondbacks.
Now finally disprove Evan's brain.
Yeah, I reported for a year Arenado to the Yankees, according to my brain. So where's he going, Arizona?
He is going to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
There you go.
For Jack Martinez.
Okay.
We'll pay cash. The Cardinals will receive Jack Martinez and pay cash.
They pay some cash. They got to pay down part of that contract. Yeah, Arizona was linked for a while with Alex Bregman, so they get Nolan Arenado. Oh,
and the Diamondbacks have made another familiar move.
Yeah.
They've added Johnny Loaiziga.
Good. I'm glad. I thought the Mets were going to sign him.
Minor league deal.
I thought the Mets were going to bring in another Yankee reliever. Yeah, I appreciate you breaking the glass and giving us the Arenado news, but seconds after you're breaking down the Met offer on Kyle Tucker, you break the glass, you made my heart skip 15 times.
Well, you pissed me off denying that Aaron Rodgers and Jet fans were in cahoots, so that you get that, you get a little payback.
Do you think the Mets are going to end up winning this Kyle Tucker sweepstakes?
I don't.
I want to believe it, I just don't.
You know me, Evan, for the last 3 years, when things get like this, where it's a really good player, I always default to the Dodgers.
And the Dodgers could use him. And they're linked to him.
They could pay him whatever he's desiring. And it could be an opt-out. 1 year opt, not a long-term. 1 year, 2 year opt-out. And then he gets back into free agency.
Yeah.
Go win a championship, re-enter free agency. Yeah, you're 28 instead of 27, but you're going to get paid. So I can't help but think Dodgers.
Yeah, that's where I lean to, unless he prefers the longer-term deal that the Toronto Blue Jays have been linked to.
Yeah.
The beauty for Tucker, and for anyone who says, well, why would he do it? Why not just take the long-term deal? What's the benefit to a short-term deal? Number one, Kyle Tucker fell off the rooftop in the second half last year with Chicago, right. So his final numbers were not great. He has a chance, because you look at his career resume, he's a hell of a ball player. He could have a monster season and re-enter free agency. But the other huge factor, which I brought up to you yesterday, is that the free agent market for the next 3 years when it comes to position player is barren. It does not feature in-back bats like Kyle Tucker.
Right.
So he has a chance to re-enter free agency, even if it's not next year, the year after that, as the unquestioned best offensive player.
Right. Supply and demand benefits him if he's a year or 2 years from now.
Correct.
100%.
Now, right now, he's about to turn 29 years old, so that would mean entering free agency in his 30s, his age 30, 31, or 32 season. But again, if you're putting up massive numbers and you're the only game in town when it comes to free agency, you could do incredibly well. So fingers crossed, but what I will project to you is I think we're going to get an answer on Kyle Tucker before we get an answer on John Harbaugh.
Wow.
Yeah, you like that prediction?
I mean, John Harbaugh has so many things to think about, so many options, and he's going to be number one essentially on everybody's list except for the Baltimore Ravens. So I hope it gets done quickly, but I don't think it will.
John, I think, may decide by early next week or the end of this week. I think we're days away with Tucker, maybe hours away. There may be our first quandary for Pete Hoffman. Mm-hmm. Hoff's going to be in a tricky spot at 4:15 when I say, let's do a Rico, and Craig's staring at him saying, you better press the buttons, right? I know what Hoff's going to do.
What's he going to do?
He's going to do the right thing. He's going to press record on that Rico.
And then walk away.
And then Craig's going to fire him.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to end badly.
Why? Speaking of...
Just kidding.
Did you listen to the afternoon show yesterday?
I listened to parts of it. It's one of my favorite things to do in the afternoon.
Why? What happened?
We were approaching 5 o'clock, let's call it 4:40 or so, and I found it very interesting that Craig whooped out a top five list out of nowhere.
I did hear that, yes.
What? I'm sitting there, and I have the show on in the background, and I go, excuse me.
He did an ode to a Cinco.
He basically did a Cinco at 4:40 yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, like, and everybody knows I invented making lists.
Was there, like, production behind it?
That was where Hoff came into play. Hoff suddenly is whooping out numbers. He's counting it down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Was it
top six list?
Was it our 5, 4, 3, 2, 1?
It wasn't.
It was close, though.
It was close.
I thought it was the same.
It was like a Hydrox cookie to an Oreo cookie version.
That was clearly an ode to you, Sean.
Okay.
You should feel flattered.
Yeah, by the way, speaking of Craig and speaking of Sean, I tweeted it out about an hour ago. If you go to at Evan Roberts WFAN, it is the picture that Craig put out a few years ago of Sean Morach looking like a Cabbage Patch Kid. Okay, I'm going to show you the picture so you can describe it. Tell me, Tiki, Sean doesn't look like a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yes, he does.
That's pre-beard, though.
Yes, yeah. Without the beard, it does.
There's a reason I started growing the gray beard.
It is a young Sean Morash with no beard, with the very bald head.
That is pure Cabbage Patch.
And it's a Cabbage Patch Kid wearing his Yankee shirt, and they look exactly the same. So you could check it out on my Twitter feed. It's a Craig tweet from a few years ago, from almost the anniversary, January 6th, 2023.
Wow.
Almost to the day. Let's go to Pete in Babylon. Hey, Pete.
You guys better leave Sean alone. He's doing double duties back there.
Yeah, he is, but that's his job from now on.
Listen, Evan, Sean, Tiki, you know I love you guys, and you can't hide from us, man. I'll follow you to the moon.
Appreciate you.
Listen, let's start off by saying let's get that tub of goo out of our giant offices right now. I've been screaming about Jesse Minter for a month. The reason I've been screaming about Jesse Minter is because he's a Harbaugh protege. So I got two giant points. Let me get them both across.
Yeah.
Harbaugh protege. Now we have an opportunity to go and get the protege, not in Jesse Minter, but the two guys, Harbaugh, who have taught this kid who I've been screaming about. Hire Harbaugh. We got to fire Shane. Let me push back on you a little bit, Tiki.
Go ahead.
2 seconds.
Go ahead.
I just got it. Listen, I'm just going to throw names at you. Evan Neal, Tay Banks, Dalen Hyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Thibodeau was not a five pick. He let Xavier McKinney go. He let Julian Love go. If you hire Harbaugh, he's got to go. And lastly, please, help me with this one. Let's draft Spencer Fano with the five pick and bookend our tackles and be done with our offensive line. I love you guys always.
Appreciate you, Pete. I'm still high on Mbeu, though. I mean, not Mbeu, Bow. Marcus Bow.
Mbeu.
So, Mbeu is your
guy. M-B-O-W.
Right.
Which I love.
I'm still high on Bow. I think he has a chance to be a really good player in this league. Now, could he move the guard? Sure. But I don't see that. I think he's a tackle.
Anthony's in Brooklyn. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. Second time, long time. I have a submission for Idioms for Idiots.
Go ahead. Nice.
All right. If you want to rewind to about 12:30 on the free Odyssey app, I'm pretty sure you could do that on YouTube, too. Evan said he's a front runner for Seton Hall. I think he meant bandwagoner, buddy.
I don't know. Is that incorrect?
I think front runner works.
Yeah.
No, front runner.
Because a front runner means you jump in rooting for a team that's winning.
Yeah. I mean, I always root for them. I just don't watch them.
I'm a front runner.
I'm trying to think how people use front runner.
So if you walked around in the 90s in New York and you saw somebody with a cowboy hat, you'd be like, you're a front runner.
Well, but that isn't the way I used it for myself. I am a fan of the Islanders. I'm a fan of Seton Hall. I just don't watch every game the way I do with my other teams.
Yeah.
And once they're in the playoffs or the NCAA tournament, I'm locked in.
So I think he's wrong then.
Yeah.
Because bandwagoner is, I'm not paying attention. I'm not a fan of that team. Oh, they're good? Oh, let me jump on the bandwagon.
Right, like Evan jumped on the Texans bandwagon.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But that's only to serve my interests of beating the Patriots.
But you only talk about Seton Hall when they're in the front.
Yeah.
So you're a front runner.
Absolutely.
No, you said it right.
Absolutely. I think
that was a good try. I'm glad he made us think about that one.
No, it was a very, very...
I completely missed it.
Very good try.